bitch, people got religious trauma.
No, actually.
You can't just ambush somebody with Jesus.
Hello and welcome to Your Mom's Podcast, the only podcast that's worth walking out on a date with one of Degrassi's coolest girls. I'm Avis.
I'm Caroline.
And today we are talking about Degrassi Season 5, Episode 4, Foolin'. Roses are red. Jibberty played too hard in the hot tub. The first rule of Friendship Club is always talk about Friendship Club.
Sorry, that was a little clunky, but I wanted to always talk about Friendship Club, and there's only so
hot tubs. I think it's fine. I think it plays well in the sandbox. Liberty has been on one lately. She no longer finds JT's childish antics endearing, and she has no problem making that known. Is Liberty a control freak, pregnant, or both? Over in the B plot, reluctantly resolved to the fact that his old friends want nothing to do with him, Spinner finds companionship in sophomore, Darcy. Neat. I really don't like them, and I never have, I never will.
Okay, you know what my last note of their story, of their shit was?
Hmm.
Fuck, I don't have my notes open yet. But I'm gonna. Give me a second. Here we go. There we go. My last note was that, like, I hate Darcy. Love mm-hmm. Shanae Grimes. Hate Darcy Edwards. She's a hypocrite. She's a cunt. Like, and her hair is horrible. And fuck that green bag.
She's a hypocrite. She's a cunt.
I said what I said.
I love that we're back to calling 15-year-olds cunt. Actually, she's supposed to... The fact that she's supposed to be a sophomore... Is she a sophomore or a freshman?
No, she was a freshman last year.
Oh, right, right. Right. It's just so weird because she's got extensions now. She's got extensions, so that's...
Is Spinner still in 10th grade English?
Yes.
Okay. I guess that tracks. Anyway.
Because Quan only teaches 10th grade, right? Is she the English teacher for the whole...
But.
She Darcy has been. Is I just thought they. 10.
But no, remember, because Spinner got held back in grade. He had to take grade 9 English again in grade 10. Mm-hmm. So he would have been taking grade 10 English in grade 11, and then he got expelled. So he's taking grade 10 English again.
Mm-hmm.
Spinner is a super senior.
He is a super senior, and I feel like the fact that he doesn't even have enough credits to make it past 10th grade English is just a problem. Like,
at some point, like...
Can't they just, like, they're just like, fine. Like, how many times are they, like... They're going to let him...
Is this kid's life really going to be, like, improved by understanding Lord of the Flies? I mean, maybe. Probably yes. But...
I mean, something's not clicking.
Some things just aren't meant to be. Okay? You can't judge a fish on its ability to climb a tree.
Mm.
All right? You just can't. But... Back to my original point on the B plot, which is I fucking hate Darcy.
But.
And I am not a fan of Dinner.
Mm. It's
like probably my least favorite Spinner ship. But. Watching again with fresh eyes, Darcy came into Spinner's life and gave him something that he desperately needed. and she does a pretty good job of doing it. And yes, so I appreciate her for that. And I would never back dinner being endgame.
At the time, they are.
At the time, it's what Spinner needs, and I'm
and
here for
And Spinner
it.
Cannot just have a friend that's a girl. He needs to be in a relationship with her, because they could be great friends.
Right?
They could be great friends for each other. And she, I mean, it is good, because it's very economical the way that he, like, has nothing to hide behind, and as far as, like, all of his secrets are on the table in the forefront of their, of like, them still getting to, like, figuring each other out, and him not having anything to kind of hide behind.
Well, and presumably Darcy knows how to have platonic opposite sex friendships, unless she's just, like, running her way through Friendship Club Ned's Declassified style with, like, hand holding and chaste kisses, like,
I really, the one issue I have with Darcy is the just not telling him what is happening in room 213. Like, but Spinner has no, like, deductive reasoning. He's not like, what kind of group of people would be, like, hanging out in the class, in a classroom at this time? Like, why, what is this, a club?
Right, what is,
like,
this?
What is this? He asks no questions also, because of, it's a cute girl who invited him, which, I mean, okay.
It's weird when he's like, why are all the chairs in a circle? Like, it's a relatively, like, it's like a moderately sized group of people hanging out together. Why wouldn't the chairs all be in a circle?
Yeah, there'd be a way for, like, turn them around.
And, like, okay, Darcy's too young to know this, but, like, bitch, people got religious trauma.
No, actually.
You can't just ambush somebody with Jesus or any other Messiah or deity or what.
That is the title. That is the title. You can't just ambush someone with Jesus.
Make it so, my friend.
But no, that's exactly how I've always felt about that. It's just like, that's super sketchy. Like, that's making the Friendship Club seem, like, sketchy and, like, predatory, when you're not disclosing the full, like, okay, Friendship Club is happening in room 213. But the fact that she, like, makes it so cool, like, makes it like it's a just a group of people hanging out and not, like, an actual club. Like, some people don't fucking like clubs. Let's just strip away the religion. Maybe some people don't fucking like clubs.
Right. Like, there's all sort of, but, like, it also, I have to wonder, I had never thought about it before, but, like, there are certain sects of Christianity that do, like, soul winning, where, like, you have goals of how many people you're supposed to bring to Christ each
Ew.
Month or whatever. Yeah.
Ew.
And, like,
that's some nasty shit.
Do we think that maybe Darcy knew everything already and knew
Ew.
That Spinner was, like, broken and lonely?
Well, because,
like,
I would
is
truly
Darcy
a mastermind.
Like, predatorily proselytizing to Spinner.
That would help me dislike her the way I want to dislike her.
You don't dislike Darcy?
I've always disliked Darcy. Even through her, like, rape storyline. Even though I find the way that she processes it very relatable.
I feel for her in that.
I feel for her. I still don't like her character. Her character is not a character that I enjoy watching. I think that she is kind of annoying. And I don't like the things that she picks and chooses to tell Spinner in this episode. I just think that it's not, that she knows she's hot. She knows she's hot. And she knows that that's all he needs to follow her anywhere. So it would track that, like, she is not disclosing the full situation, because she knows that she's hot and she wants to get him in the door.
Right.
Because if she was honest and was like, I want you to come to Friendship Club. That sounds like My Little Pony's, like, official fan club. Like...
Or, frankly, Jesus Club.
Or, frankly, just what it is. Like Jesus that- Club. Like, and then they, like, straight up start praying. So...
Yeah, and, like, I don't know. The Lord's Prayer feels like a weird thing to start your teen after-school Jesus Club with. Like, it's a fine prayer, but, like...
We need to pick the one everyone knows.
Yeah.
I don't know. I needed something more Canadian.
But, like, it also leads... So, like, I was thinking, because, like... When she asks Spinner why he got held back, and he makes up that bullshit story about his dog, and she's like, finds it charming. She's like, you're bad at flirting and lying. And like, I was like, girl, why are you not running away from this giant red flag?
Thank you. Like, thank you. Why are you running
into it? But yeah, if it's predatory, like conversion attempt.
But no, like, why does that work for you? Why did that, like, work?
Because she's trying to convert him.
Mm-hmm. That literally tracks, because why would anybody would, like, run? We didn't even have that terminology of, like, use, like, the red flags. But, like, that was, like, several.
Right.
Just like flashed across the red flags. No.
She knows the whole, when she was like, yeah, I know all about it. Like, of course you do, Darcy.
I just didn't know you were involved. I don't
know that either. You kissed the shooter like
right.
2 minutes right. before it happened. You're on the spirit squad.
How could you not know Spinner's involvement? Because okay, you're on yeah. the spirit squad and Manny would have probably talked all of her shit. That was before she got kicked off of spirit squad.
Right. And Paige would have been fucking like Paige and Hayes. Like, no, there's no way. Yeah. No. And you know what?
Here's shite.
Here's the thing. I always thought Darcy was dumb. But I think Darcy may be a fucking mastermind, and I'm excited to view
this the rest lens, of her yeah.
art through this lens. List.
Yeah, this is fun. I love that when things are plausible, when there's things in the story that would give us, like, it props up this argument, because it's just, it does not make sense if you think about what her character has had access to in the way of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
It makes no sense that she would not know Spinner's exact involvement.
Yeah.
So if somebody, let's just say she's talking her shit and she's like, I bet you I can get Spinner Mason in here. Like, I bet you I can have his ass in here.
Now she's running a weird, like...
They've got a tally board. So they've got that soul-saving tally. Yes, they've got that tally board.
They're
like,
going out soul-winning in the halls of Degrassi.
There's like a board. There's like a chalkboard.
Only points is Manny Santos. Who? We see Darcy fucking become besties. Mm-hmm.
They do. They become besties.
She doesn't convert her.
She doesn't convert her, but they're besties. No, like
our besties.
Their chalkboard. It's just it rotates. It says Friendship Club, and then it rotates. And it's got all the tally marks. And Manny is also taped to the board
with devil horns. And like,
and as soon as Spinner leaves, they just rotate it, and they're like,
and you know, it's got like a speech bubble that says, "I'm a baby killer."
Oh my god. Literally.
Manny Santos would be the ultimate Degrassi get.
The ultimate get. But she gets
Friendship Club.
The Sinners and, you know.
But Spinner's a sinner.
Spinner's a sinner.
And now we've got dinner. Yay.
Oh gosh. It's like, you, I want to know, guys, if you, I feel like we've had a call to action some points in this show, but if you love dinner, if Darcy and Spinner are your, like, this is my ship, this is my hill to die on ship,
If you're in the Facebook group,
it doesn't even have to be that. But like, if that's your top spinnership,
If that's your top spinnership, but if that's your honestly, if that's your top spinnership, if that's your top shit, like, I would like to. I want to know why. Can we talk? Because there has to be a deep consideration for the fact that Darcy's character is so flippant and like not ever really one way. She changes depending on the episode, especially in their relationship. And I don't know that there's enough consistency to really be like, I love them as a couple.
Right. But if you do,
please reach out
to us. We'd love to have you on for like
a little mini episode. Yeah, be like, hey, can you please?
Dinner. Because maybe like, we can all eat dinner while we talk about dinner. We don't have to do that, but we could. It could be like a nice, intimate Degrassi
little convo, little chatty poo. Because like at this point, this is Spinner's third relationship. Because he dated Paige, Manny, and now Darcy.
Yeah.
Was there anyone else?
No. He danced with Terry one time.
And according to Shane, we were not robbed. Shane said, fuck you. I don't want Terry. And I think to that, he is wrong. But
I feel like before we can move on from the B plot, we need to talk about the Jimmy of it all. Jimmy is still angry at Spinner.
Jimmy is on. He was waiting.
Jimmy for does not believe that Spinner should be allowed back at Degrassi.
And I mean, rightfully so.
Rightfully so.
Like, he was barely expelled. He was barely expelled.
But did you learn nothing from last year? Like, you don't want to be his friend. That's so fucking fine.
Yeah.
But don't go and, like, fuck up his shot at friendships with other people.
That's the thing that I know that Jimmy was waiting for is just for Spinner to show any sort of happiness related to another person in that interaction so that he could fucking crush it.
Jimmy is entitled to every drop of that anger. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't make the behavior okay. It doesn't make it so that the behavior does not have like consequences and ripple effect and what have you.
No, he's wrong. He's bitter. All of these feelings are valid. It's more just like the response to it and perpetuating the cycle of being.
It's just frustrating. Jimmy, you literally
more of the same. More of the same, yeah.
You literally got shot because everybody was bullying this kid for a thing he did last year and ostracizing him.
Now you're doing the same thing. Launched
a ribbon campaign, but
I mean, but you've turned his into. I mean, in a way, because everybody knows if Jimmy had given his blessing, like everybody would be pissed, but they would get with it.
Right.
Like, fine. Like, Spinner and Jimmy have, like, it's water under the bridge. Not water under the bridge, but they're working on it. And they are dealing with it, like, being friends again. But it's Jimmy that is, like, making everybody kind of, like, stay separate and not engage with Spinner. And it's not really up to Jimmy to be the one who's like, okay, everybody needs to be mad at Spinner. But that's what everyone is kind of doing out of respect for Jimmy.
But you know what? Okay, here's where I'm at with that. Jimmy can be not okay with Spinner. He can even be fucking vocally not okay with Spinner to a degree. And if the rest of the friend group wants to fall in line, I don't have a problem with that even. Spinner is not entitled to these friends. At this point, he shook up everybody's world, not just Jimmy's. And they're all entitled to any anger they have with him.
Yeah.
Darcy's not a part of their fucking group. He's gone elsewhere. He's found friends elsewhere.
Yeah. And now he's kind of.
And like, Yes, what he did to you was shitty. You don't ever have to forgive him. You don't have to foster his growth. But you don't get to hamper it.
Yeah, I think that that is a line that Jimmy feels entitled to cross because he wants to shit on him. And I think that that's...
I think he is entitled to shit on him. Like, I would go so far as to say that Spinner deserves a lot of the shit that he's getting from Jimmy. And Jimmy should still do better. And that's a big ask for a teenager who has just gone through trauma. So I don't fault him for it.
Right.
But what I would like to see in a perfect world, you don't have to foster people's growth, but you can't fucking hamper it. And like people who have wronged you, you don't have to forgive them. You don't have to love them. You don't even have to wish them well. But like, I don't know. At this point in my life, my thoughts for like the people who have truly done me harm is like, save for like one person. I'm not fully healed yet. Let me be. A little bit of anger is healthy.
A little, but yeah. Like, no, I don't.
Everybody, but that one person. I'm like, I hope that you become the best possible version of yourself. Like, I hope you figure your shit out.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah. I think that loving people accepting that, like, it not everything deserves a reconciliation. And, like, I can let this go without accepting this back into my life. Mm-hmm. But I also, you know, can put some distance between myself and this person or this situation because that's what's best for me. And I think that in so much, Jimmy has managed to kind of like purge his life of Spinner. And I think that he's probably, I mean, there's probably some complex feelings there. Like, they were good friends. Like, the fact that they become friends again is proof that Jimmy did miss him.
They were BFFs, dude.
Yeah.
They may not have had matching necklaces from Claire's. But you know they had something.
Yeah. It definitely feels like Jimmy is just so, like, he's upset because he still cares so much. You know, it's still, like, a lot of fucked up swirls of feelings. And he doesn't want him to be able to connect with someone again.
And here's, like, he's not just angry at Spinner. He's angry at Rick. He's probably angrier at Rick than he is at Spinner. But Rick is dead.
Mm-hmm.
You can only throw so much anger at a dead man.
Right.
And so, like, that needs somewhere to go. I don't know. It's all very complex. And, like, I feel for these kids. These are a lot of big feelings. And Miss Sauvay is not equipped to teach them how to deal with them.
She really fucking isn't.
She really fucking isn't.
She needs an aide. She needs. There needs to be two of her.
At least. No, I'm sorry.
All this fucking trauma in this school.
This school needs at least 10 full-time, like,
to deal with this. And this is just in the B plot. Like, we're getting to the point where, like, the B plots are just as heavy. Mm. I mean, or at least the, like, plot-wise, they mean just as much because this is a big, even though total, like, the screen time, you know, maybe it's like 7 minutes that this plot gets. I think that it's so well done with the amount of interactions that Jimmy has with Spinner and Darcy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I appreciate getting this side of Jimmy because we do see him trying to, like, being the bigger person with his plot with Danny and, like, or Derek, and, like, standing up to him in a way that, like, still, like, he's the bigger person. He is overcoming, like, some of the chip on his shoulder with being in the chair.
Well,
in some ways, but
not just the Derek of it all, but the like, I'm still the basketball guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I haven't even been in this chair a year, and I'm doing 12 in a row with it from a chair with no jump.
Right. Like, I'm, the, yeah. Like, there's bravado there.
I'm still this guy. And I think that's a big thing for Jimmy, because basketball is, you know, he's a young Black man on Degrassi. So basketball is like
his
73% of his character. He can't just walk away from that. And
that would be like Marco not being gay anymore.
Right? Like, you just can't have it.
What are we going to write about?
Terry not being fat.
What are we going to do, Terry? You can't not be fat, Terry.
Hazel not being a self-hating Somalian.
Oh, my God. The one that was, oh my God, that was one time.
But it's her only episode. Unless you count The Breakfast Club.
We don't.
We don't.
We don't count that. Nobody counts that.
That was an ensemble piece, and still she's like.
Ensemble.
I take it back. I like our nighttime recordings too.
They get to the loop.
Starting.
Yeah, it's like getting in the shower.
Right? Oh, that's a perfect, that's like the most beautiful analogy. I love that. Cute.
I do too. Wakes me up a little bit. This B plot was good. It was a good, because like, I have some unpopular opinions about the A plot, but Darcy's here. She's got extensions and she's going to get on my nerves.
And her big green bag.
And her, oh, fuck that bag. She's never going to get another bag, guys. This is the bag.
You could fit, like, the body of, like, a grade 7 in that bag. I don't think Darcy could carry that much weight, but you could fit it in that bag. And I do believe that that bag could withstand that weight.
I am hoping that the kids are wearing real bag, like real like school bags to school again, because when I tell you trying to carry all your textbooks in a cute little purse,
shit's
getting left in the locker. Okay,
we should clearly the, like leather strap.
Just tie it all up. Just stack it all up and tie it.
You know what, though? That actually comes in handy.
Yeah, you gotta beat a bitch's ass.
Or it gets real bad real fast.
Or you get, you know, what if somebody took your book strap and fucked you up with your own book strap? I got my ass beat with my own books.
Not that.
Oh, no. They literally said, I'm gonna give her one bag. The wardrobe department said, give
and
her
a
one
million
bag.
Extensions.
So many extensions.
You know what it
and
is?
The most dramatic bang.
You know what it is? The higher the hair, the closer
the
to God.
The closer to God. Oh, no. True. Why does she look so, like, 1960s coded? With the, like, the beehive kind of hair with her, when she's in her uniform. Why does she look, like, why did they do that? I feel like they do it again. I feel like they put her hair in a beehive, like, vibe again. And I'm, like, black and white for some reason. I think she wore, like, that dress.
No, there's, like, a, well, that's for, like, a thing. That's, like, a.
That, oh, it's a thing.
That's a thing.
Oh, okay, so they, that's why.
That won't entirely hold that against her. Mm-hmm. But, like. Darcy is a very particular kind of Christian girl. And that hair, I mean, think about Grace on Secret Life.
Oh, no.
That, right? But tell me that there aren't, like, she didn't have her own version of Darcy's hair.
She does.
Yeah, no, it's...
Was there a bump it involved?
Probably.
Oh, dear me.
I mean, unless it was, or the bump it, but I mean, the bump it existed just... in, like, hair trailers, I'm sure, long before it existed on our TVs.
Right? They're like, fine, public, you can have this.
There are other ways to achieve that look.
Yeah, just tease the fuck out of the back of your head only.
Yeah.
The bangs gotta be smooth.
Bangs gotta be smooth.
But it's like the back of her, like she's got, the part is her bang. The part is her bang. And then it's like immediately just transitions to the back. And just
90210. I'm looking at like fuck right now.
Right, because her hair was very, I feel like, was a big reason why she got cast in 90210, other than like her acting. She was just the redhead-ish girl.
Yeah.
For a while.
She still got a lot of volume, but it's way better.
It is better. A little bit. But they keep her general look.
Anyway.
It's what
I really like Shanae Grimes.
I really like Shanae Grimes too.
But even though she's using her powers for evil, I can get behind Mastermind Darcy. I can fuck with that. And I can like that a bit more. I can have a power move is a power move. And I respect that. It's like Caitlyn Jenner. Horrible person. But picking a name that you could have very easily spelled with a K.
Yeah.
In that family, and making the choice to spell it with a C was a fucking move, and I respect it.
I've never thought of that, but you're right.
Right?
That's kind of dicky. It's kind of cunty, actually.
It's serving cunt.
It's cunty.
It's beautiful. It's a glorious fuck you to Kris Jenner.
Wow. That the way that I've literally never thought that thought before in my life. That's crazy.
And like,
gotta respect that.
A horrible person, but so is Kris Jenner. So you know,
we already have. I think we had that whole tangent about them recently, and I'm just like, I don't. Most of the things like post 2012, I know about that family have been forced fed into my life.
Don't seek them out.
No.
But I also don't necessarily scroll when they hit my algorithm.
Yes, I've made it to point to like not engage with the content so as to not affect my algorithm.
Funny.
I like it when people make fun of them and they are in themselves funny.
Like the lady with the post-it note fingers.
Yes. Yes, she is beautiful. It's like, it's so, like, her mannerisms and everything is just point on point.
Anyway, on to the A-plot.
On to the A-plot, yeah, because we just somehow, yeah. Can I cite an unpopular opinion?
Yes.
I think that I appreciate the fact that they give Liberty a chance to emote and to have that we get an idea of how she's feeling in a pretty succinct, like it's pretty succinct how she's, you know, she doesn't want to be pregnant anymore, everything. I can't help but like feel like the episode is trying to truly get us to dislike her.
They do lay it on very thick.
And I think they try to take it back, but I don't know that what they've established can be ran back necessarily.
And like, it's all very like, I might have thought Liberty, I probably thought Liberty was being an asshole when I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I don't know. It's all reasonable behavior from a teenager. She's pregnant. She's scared. Her boyfriend is pretty fucking childish.
Mm-hmm. Like, choices of her own actions.
And it's shitty that she didn't tell
consequences. Yeah.
And it was really fucking stupid of her to not object to the king size condo.
Thank you. Why did you not, why did you go along with that? That is almost as bad as putting two on. I think that's probably as on par with putting two on. Like, why would you, like, I understand him being like, oh, yeah, blah, blah. Why would you allow that? I don't even know that it slipped on enough to, like, slip off convincingly. Like, how, king size?
Right.
And he's, it's a, like, boy. He's just a boy.
Who, as much as I would love to not think about his penis, it is canon, has a small penis.
Right. We know, like, that we have been described as a stack of dimes. Flaccid.
But, like,
this evidence we have been given, for some reason we needed to know.
Didn't you ever have, like, a sex ed teacher that was like, look, here is how big a condom gets. If your boyfriend's telling you it's too small, he's full of shit.
Yes.
Where is Dr. Sally?
But I also have to think about the fact that the internet just teaches us so much, because there were literally people putting their feet in condoms like a couple years
ago. I would like to point out that Emma's class did not have a single visit from Dr. Sally, and they have now had two.
Right. Correlation wise, this shit is abysmal.
Paige's class hasn't had a pregnancy. Paige's class
has not had a pregnancy.
No, not that we know of.
Not that we've been told. So it
didn't happen.
Yeah. Episode, or it didn't happen.
I don't know why I went by the blondes, but I did.
I mean, yeah, they were robbed. They were done a disservice, because Dr. Sally would have surely shut that shit down.
Dr. Sally would have been, yeah.
But Liberty, you know that just...
Liberty would have, like, clicked with Dr. Sally. They'd be email buddies. Dr. Sally would send her articles. Like, nah. Fuck that.
The fact that Liberty doesn't want to be informed is slightly, like, not true to her character.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It just feels like she, not that someone can't be, you know, more curious about certain things, but, like, I just find her to be a very know-it-all sort of person, to where she doesn't want to be caught not knowing.
Yeah, it just, yeah, I don't know though.
Or at least, like, I mean, she crushed on JT for a long time, but she had other boyfriend, well, she had another boyfriend.
Yeah,
it's not like, I don't know, I feel
that,
like,
was so long ago. That was,
it was what, so, like, long ago, and she,
eight,
I thought it was grade 9.
Is it grade 9? Does Manny get pregnant in grade 9? Oh, yeah. Have sex with more grade 9s. Yeah.
Iconic.
It really is. Truly iconic. But
it just, I really want Liberty to be more of what they've set her up to be. In this episode, it just feels like she is so, there's a little bit of a cliche to her that I don't, that I really feel like is more for the episode than her actual character. I, mm-hmm. A lot of it is, I do believe a lot of it is her, you know, like, I wake up every day not wanting to be pregnant, and guess what? I still am. Like, that is, like, hardcore Liberty. Like, right. I am trying to control this situation, and I cannot control this situation. It is fucking driving me up a wall. I just want to do everything myself, and I can't do everything myself. I would make this baby my, have, like, you know, if I could have made the child myself. No, but right. It just feels like she is so, like, I, like, control freak. That is, like, the core of Liberty, I feel like.
Which is part of why she's controlling the fuck out of JT.
Mm-hmm.
Because she, like, can't control her own damn life right now.
Mm-hmm.
But JT's, like, going to be part of it, so she can control that.
Mm-hmm. But I don't, like, the fact that she gets, I don't know, their whole breakup is a little weird. because he breaks up with her and it's clearly he's breaking up with her to be hurtful. Because he's actually wanting to break up with her. And then at the end of the episode, she's like, well, we're not back together. And it's like I don't know. It feels, at first I thought it was a two-parter. I don't know why. I don't know why I thought we had another part. But when everybody got a secret, because Tubi just auto-plays it. So it's like, that's how weddings, parties, anything starts. with Downtown Sasquatch. So the amount of times I heard that cut, that like, that trying to get back, because I was like, wait, I have to, okay, let me just watch it a couple of times. Cause I think I'd taken an hour to watch it or something, set aside the time. And I'm like, oh, I only need the 25 minutes or whatever. It's like, oh, they should have done more time. Like, they should have had more time to like let this breathe a little bit,
right?
Just a lot happens in 10 minutes. Like, it's like it's like in the Hanukkah on the Rocks, when at the end he's like wait, like, oh, I'm upset. I can't believe you didn't tell me. And then like walks away in the bar and then walks back to it's later, like, I guess everything's okay now. Like, that's how it feels.
Yeah, it's
like just a little bit. Like, it feels like there should have been another episode with these guys and figuring this out.
No, we don't. But it's Liberty, so why would we get that?
Because and the fact that we, and I, of course, you know, don't throw pitchforks at me don't throw tomatoes at me. Don't get your pitchforks. But I feel like, why are we getting this JT's perspective? Like, I understand he's the young father. I understand, like, you know, he gets more storyline. Like, the fact that he gets that, we only get little pepperings of what Liberty feels, and it's not more her storyline, and we're following JT,
mm-hmm.
kind of frustrates me.
It's kind of frustrating.
Like, we were with Manny most of the way with her pregnancy and her decision to have her abortion, enough that I'm like, okay, I'm not super mad about how they did that.
Right. Craig was a participant in it, but mm-hmm. like, that was a Manny episode. Like, no, it's a JT episode. It's not a Liberty episode. It's a JT episode. Right. And that is disappointing. And I don't feel like we really get that many Liberty episodes in it.
We don't.
We get like the one after the baby's gone.
Yes. Yes. And it's like, why? What for?
I don't know. It's disappointing.
Like, the last time Liberty really had a storyline was when
she went full fucking Napoleon.
With her fucking, like, her tyranny. Not her being a tyrant on the fucking floor hockey team. Is it that long ago?
There's gotta be something.
Isn't there something? Oh, but that wasn't really about her. That was her and JT, the radishes. Like, that wasn't her. That was her and JT.
I would say it was 55% Liberty, 45% JT. Like, she did have the majority. She carried.
But it wasn't her.
And, like, it's not even good. Like, she doesn't slay. She fucking reads her radish poem.
Yeah, she thought she ate with that one. I don't like it. I feel like if any time you're going to focus on someone is maybe when they're the one, like, carrying the child that everybody is panic nauseous about. Like, maybe we talk, like, maybe we go inside of what's happening to her. I would have liked to see her hiding it. I would have liked to see.
Right. She's been hiding it for 3 months.
Right. Like, why don't we get that?
I mean, we do just barely when she walks into the cafeteria.
Right.
She's like, ladies and gentlemen.
Shot. Yeah.
She's definitely already frumpified her wardrobe.
Right. No.
Like, and is Trumpified for liberty.
Which is saying something.
At this point, yeah. Oh, Liberty, you could have been so much more.
They don't want you to be, though.
Justice for Liberty.
Justice for Liberty, because I feel like we get more of this whole people, you know, JT getting the look when he's buying the pregnancy test or whatever. We don't need the setup of him getting this job at the pharmacy. Give me a couple more scenes with Liberty. You did not need to have an like a scene set with an emo, like an indie song.
See, and this is where, once again, the Degrassi 22-minute A-plot, B-plot format falls short, because in a show that has, like, A through D, maybe even E-plots running.
Right.
We would have been checking in even just a little bit with Liberty all season.
Mm-hmm. Right. And just like, giving, yeah.
That's fine. But why is the, like, why did we choose an episode about JT having to deal with Liberty's pregnancy rather than an episode of Liberty dealing with Liberty's pregnancy?
Yeah. Like, we still could have gotten the car crash. You know, we still could have gotten most of the points that happen in this episode, but we could have gotten it from Liberty's point of view, which is a much more valuable point of view, because we don't really get her point of view.
Right.
We get a lot of the things that she feels filtered through conversations with JT. Like, it would just be helpful to actually, like, we see her house. It's not like we're not in her house. Like, but the only reason we're in her house is because JT is there, which is annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just have a scene with her. Why not even have a scene with Danny trying to get into the bathroom and being like, why are you taking so long? Like, what the, you know, and Liberty coming out and, like, not being able to, I don't know. Or maybe him, like, opening the door and, like, she can't pull down her shirt fast enough. And, like, something that could even give Danny something to do, because he's just there to get called a puke.
Danny doesn't need to be, like, catching his sister peeing on a fucking pregnancy test.
Well, but not the pregnancy, the belly.
Belly.
Yes, okay. Like, she can't pull down her, like, like, she can't pull down her big ass hoodie fast enough.
Okay, yeah. That I'm way more okay with.
No, because how the fuck are you... I do not need any... No, don't talk about the peeing that minors are doing.
Yeah. It's one of Liberty's only lines.
It feels
something
like...
about frequent urination.
Oh. There are a vast multitude of signs. Yeah, I'm just, you deserve better, Liberty. It feels like there's more, there was more to be desired for me here.
This is what, like, they're too immature to have babies. This is why teenagers should not have babies.
They can't even talk about it. She is pissed off because she's like, we made a decision together, and we made a really bad decision together. And now I don't want to make decisions with you anymore.
Yeah. And she had 3 months to clue him in, and she didn't. And no. So, like, you can only be so mad at him.
No, had no idea. And honestly, as soon as he knows, he goes and gets himself a little job. And tries to be semi, you know, responsible about it.
JT is not, like, JT at the beginning of this episode is not a bad boyfriend for Liberty. Like, he asks, he's like, something is off. Like, tell me what's up.
Yeah. No, it's like, what did I do to you? We can't have sex. Something's wrong. But no, it's more just what's been on for me. What lives rent free in my head is him like shaking the the thing of condoms loose, like, and being like, the biggest, like, 1,000-watt smile. Like, oh, it's just the worst.
But that's exactly what that kid would be like, having sex for, like, the first time.
Mm-hmm. Very believable. I know
he's not, like, this isn't his first time, obviously, but, like.
Right, but it's, yeah, no.
He's having time, like, you know.
It's, I just want less of JT and more of Liberty. I want
so much less of JT. Unless it's him getting soda dumped down his pants. I love that moment. I had forgotten all about it.
Mm-hmm,
that tub of root beer was in fact a tub.
Because why is Toby the worst, but also deliberately the worst? Because in my mind, there's no way that he didn't realize he was being too loud. Right. And setting JT the fuck up. And it wouldn't be out of character because he's called JT a pig before and, like, had those opinions of him.
Here's the thing, though, is ultimately it falls on JT because why are you having this conversation at the movie theater with your girlfriend and your, like, you guys' friend
within earshot, though. It's definitely earshot. Like it's on him, and I think that kind of lends credence to that, because Toby being like, why are you even bringing up you and Liberty's sex life? And that's why he's like, oh, I won't tell everybody that you and Liberty fooled around and now you're bragging about it. And I know that's in the future, but, like, this is what it's giving. It feels like he's like trying, he's like, I just want to expose you because you are being gross right now.
But then Toby, like, I don't know, Toby comes through pretty clutch when JT's like, Liberty's pregnant. Toby's there for him and
crashes his little car.
RSP car. And it's so good. He, like, crashes it into this, like, folding table. And then it falls over on it. A plant falls on it. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Those little remote control cars. Yeah. He's, like, their conversation about, like, you know, him being bullied by Liberty or whatever, like, being smacked around by, like, he just makes it like it's so much more dramatic. Like, I have no respect. She doesn't respect me, Tobes. Like, okay.
Okay, but you guys are about to go bring a child into this world, so why don't y'all figure that shit out?
Right. Like, worse than Liberty being pregnant? Like, what could be worse than that?
Yeah. Why is JT so mean to Paige?
Why is JT so mean to Paige?
The only thing I can think of is a, like, Liberty's insecure about Paige.
Hmm. Right, because last time we checked, they were still little besties.
Right. They're not, like, friends, but...
No, they will always have that special relationship. And it's not like there's been anything that has derailed, like, that has tainted that.
Right. And he's like, it's not quite like when he's got Spinner waiting on him at the dot, but mm-hmm. it is giving, like,
yeah, yeah.
You're behind the counter in polyester, you're beneath me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to abuse, like, it's gross. Don't like it. Don't like that Liberty seems to be enjoying it.
Mm. That's, yeah, that's gross. I don't like, I love how, you know, Paige makes it known that she's annoyed that everybody comes there. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I was wondering, like, that this is a city. Why is this the only movie theater that you guys go to? Yeah, I don't like that Paige is just fucked around. Like, people fuck around with her on the job because, like you said earlier, that is just, or that might have been pre-show, where we were talking about the service industry and just how being on the clock, it just limits your autonomy. And we've seen that firsthand with Paige and Spinner, and literally Paige not being able to articulate herself the way she normally would and defend herself because she is working.
Right.
But I love their interaction, though, because she really does, like... fuck his shit up, even though he's being an asshole to her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, that'll be $400.
You still have to pay for that.
Yeah, like, come on. Like, he is trying to be, like, puff up his chest, and it's like, you are still a kid. And I think that's a big part of the episode is, like, you are doing things that you feel ready for, but you're truly not ready for the consequences.
Right.
Just so much so that you fucking crashed your car. It's like, I just fucking forgot the brake. I forgot which one was it. No, like, I mixed up the brake and the gas.
That's what your girlfriend pregnant. Like,
yeah.
JT's a fucking idiot.
He is. He lends very little intelligence to this episode. But
I think Liberty's overreacting about the announcements, though. Sorry, I just cut you off.
No, it's fine. I don't disagree. I think that she was frustrated because she entertainment is not a practical career choice. I actually think she's wrong about that. I think she's quite wrong, but I also think that he makes a point to, like, prove her wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why maybe he excels at entertainment. But I think he is, like, naturally an entertainer. And I think if she were reading the room, that she would, like, be able to, and that she wasn't speaking from emotion, that she would see that he is an act, like, he would probably make good money entertaining because he entertains for free.
Right.
Quite successfully.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I don't believe that JT is as funny as he thinks he is.
But I think he has a certain humor that is, like, very, he has a brand that some people will find funny. I don't find him funny. Like, the things that he was doing at the hot tub and everything before he was gonna jump in. Like, I don't find that kind of, like, humor, like, fart jokes and stuff funny. But people do.
A good fart joke. I'm not, like, the bar is high. But I would bet you that there is at least one fart joke out there in the world of film and television that would make you laugh. I can't necessarily say which one it is.
I'm not going to dispute that. It's
I think it's possible to do most anything if you can, like, well. It's just some things are hard to do well.
Mm-hmm.
And fart jokes are really easy to do poorly because a lot of people will laugh at them anyway.
I get too many, like, I don't know. Maybe it's just me thinking about, like, a lot of the humor that I grew up watching. It was just, like, crassness. What? It's like, oh, little lady, I don't want things to be crass. Like, no, I just sometimes, when things cross, like, Nutty Professor had so many fart jokes. And did I laugh at some of those? Yes, I laughed at some of those fart jokes, because some of those fart jokes are fucking funny. But it gets to the point, especially in Nutty Professor, it's a perfect example, where I'm like, okay, stuff does not have to be coming out your ass every 10 minutes.
Okay, wait. But does it do the thing where it's funny and then they do it until it's not funny anymore and then they keep doing it and then it circles back around to funny? Because that's my favorite kind of joke. I'm not even going to lie.
It's a marathon. Yeah. A marathon and pretty much the same three jokes. And they're all farting jokes. Like,
have you watched that Daniel Radcliffe Swiss Army Man movie?
I have not. The last thing I saw Daniel Radcliffe in, I'm pretty sure he was, like, a unicorn or something. Or was that a goat? I think he was, like, part goat. Yeah.
It's him and the brother who took the vow of silence in Little Miss Sunshine.
Paul Dano?
Yeah. And it's weird. And Mary Elizabeth Winstead is in it. Just once, I'd like to see her not be a manic pixie dream girl.
She said never.
It's not her that said never. She knows what she's capable of. She also knows what pays the bills.
She knows what she's capable of.
You know what? She's not a manic pixie dream girl in Sky High. She's a fucking badass in Sky High, even if she is the bad guy.
I have to watch Sky High again. Fine.
I've only watched it once because it's one of my sister Lucy's favorite things, movies. Anyway, one thing I want to talk about before we move on to segments, and it's a quick thing, is JT still has parents.
He does still have parents, according to Toby.
Toby.
Yeah.
He didn't say tell your grandma.
So when do his parents die?
I mean, soon.
And Spinner's dad's got to be kicking the bucket soon, too.
Spinner's dad, I feel like...
because he's going to get testicular cancer soonish.
Right? It's so weird that we never, like... like, did they think we wouldn't notice?
They did, yeah. They totally did. They were like, nobody's going to watch this show incessantly, like...
right. Well, because that's the thing. It's like at the time, like, okay, you would get an every Degrassi episode ever marathon sometimes. But a lot of the times what you got was, you know, an episode a week.
Right.
Could and then people, a couple a night in syndication.
Right. Could they really conceptualize streaming and like the limits, the amount of content that would be available to any one person at a time and the ability to literally binge 15 years of content rapidly, like just with no bar, no holds bar other than those ads, baby. You right. Like, they could not, nobody, and if they did, someone did spitball that shit, they would be like, nobody would fucking do that.
Right.
They would have a life to live.
Little do they know we all live inside now.
Little did they know. Even these kids got iPads. Yeah, it's bad to it's the point so that we notice that. And I really do think when you watch things week by week, you just don't, you don't notice these details. You don't.
Right.
Like, you would only ever notice it if the DVD came out and then you're able to watch the whole season front to back. But really,
binging.
Yeah. That's what you waited until it came out on DVD and then you could watch the whole season because you only saw it once because it aired once.
One year for Christmas, my grandparents got me like every season of Desperate Housewives that was out, which I think was like up to six at that point on DVD. It was the best Christmas present.
You just went fucking fair, like ham.
It was a beautiful time. It
must have been beautiful. Yeah. Same with 6 Feet Under. But, like, it was the time that, like, before streaming, obviously. And it was all of the seasons were out on the box set. So my mom just lucked out on a deal and got the whole box set. And for, like, weeks, all we would watch is 6 Feet Under.
That's beautiful.
It was like going into a cave. It was very nice.
I bought all five seasons of The Wire at a pawn shop when I was like 22. Why? For like $25. So do you know what a godsend that was living in some shitty apartment with no TV?
Oh. That's why I can quote things so much, because we only had, for a portion of my life, we did not have cable or anything. We just had our physical DVDs and tapes. So that's why I know Bring It On from start to finish. That's why I know The Parent Trap to the down to like the acting in the scenes, because I would like act out the movie while I was watching the movie because I had seen it so many times.
Yeah, we had limited options. Like, and not everybody had blockbuster money like that.
My parents did, we did Hollywood Video, and we would do it like maybe once or twice a month, because it was it was not something. And we would take, when Netflix started to be a thing, we would take the DVDs from my goddad before he would send them back to Netflix, or we would go over and watch them with them instead of renting from Hollywood Video.
Blockbuster was like $3 a movie. Maybe I'm making that up, but like, or maybe not Blockbuster, but
yeah, no,
like the Hollywood,
we went to both, releases. But we Hollywood Video was a little bit cheaper.
And I feel like $3 is more than I want to pay for a movie now.
I will sometimes, I'm like, fuck it, I'll spend the $3 myself. But it is like a little bit of like, even though I own it, you know.
Right.
Or even you rent it. Sometimes they don't even let you buy. It's like $2.99 for a rental. It's,
yeah.
I mean, it's the same principle, but it's not.
I have paid.
It doesn't hit the same
rental, and it was a really bad remake of The Most Dangerous Game that starred CT from The Challenge.
I knew he was worth Caroline.
What,
Caroline? I love that you've seen this shit because I saw the fucking trailer for it, and I was like, wait,
it was not good. Like,
I love that story. I love the we read that in English class. And there's like the 1920s version or something that we watched along with it. And that was terrible. So I, you know.
It's not good. It's not good at all. But it was worth the $2.99 to rent it. It would not have been worth the $12.99 to buy it, though.
Right, right. Yeah.
And it was only worth the $2.99 to rent it because I love CT from The Challenge.
Mm-hmm. Because you're 10 toes down.
Judd
for
Nelson
CT.
Was also there.
I would go for Judd Nelson.
Right. I like Judd Nelson.
I like Judd Nelson.
I like to see him doing things. You know what I would watch?
Hmm.
Is that show? How many seasons is that show that he did with like Brooke Shields? Didn't he do a show? Just Shoot Me. Isn't he in that?
Oh, fuck. I completely...
Can we do that for previously on?
I would love that, because I love me some fucking... The only thing I can't really watch is that creepy-ass movie he did when he was playing the real person. That basement guy. That shit was creepy.
Oh, wait, that's not it. It must be Suddenly Susan, then. That's what it was called, which is...
Suddenly
Susan. A way worse name.
And when was... Oh, yeah, no. Yeah. 71 episodes.
Nelson,
NBC. Yeah, he was Jack Richmond.
Oh, yeah, there he is.
Series regular. Brooke Shields.
4 seasons. It fits the bill.
Yeah. Just barely. That's not bad. Just barely. Yeah. I would fuck with that, especially if it's not... I don't think it would be super hard to find.
No, we'll check it out. Anyway.
Yeah. No. Oh, gosh. How we hippity-hopped over
anyway,
here.
Anyway, the point is... I don't even know why we were talking about movies. And Blockbuster. We were, and we got there.
We got there, and I...
And are you ready to go to segments?
Yeah, I think okay. So. I don't think... Oh, wait, I did want to mention one thing. When Hatzilakos runs to the car after Liberty and JT get into the accident, mm-hmm. and I don't know, JT's like, whatever, like Liberty says something to her after JT and Mrs. H
ran into the road.
Right. She says, okay, accidents will happen. And then, like, get inside or something. And I'm like, isn't that the name of the episode where Manny got her abortion?
It
accidents
is.
Accidents will happen. I'm like, I don't think that's a coinkydink. I don't think they, I think that they were like, because she's pregnant. But she's going to do she's not going to do the same thing. But it's still going to be a thing. Just watch and see.
I would also like to touch briefly on the fact this is a knock against my man Snake, quite frankly. When Liberty and JT come into the class after the crash, he's like, nice of you to join us or whatever. Like, motherfucker, you just saw them standing in the hallway talking to the police. Did you want them to say, I'm sorry, officer, I'm late for media immersion? Fuck you, Snake.
Snake asked zero questions, and he gave them both his ass to kiss. He was like, "Why? How dare you be late to my fucking class? I'm saving lives in here. Media literacy is important."
So is, like, you can't just...
Settling affairs with the police.
He crashed his car into the bus stop, bruh.
He's got to deal with that. He's got to deal with... And for some reason, the police just, like, readily interview minors on school grounds. Like, I don't know about... Like, I don't know. The real police were never really called in my high school, except for that time the person got hit by the wrench. And I don't...
They're the Canadian police. Are they really real police? Ooh, burn.
The fact that we talked about this with Sean and the armed forces, I truly did not think that the Canadian armed forces did a damn thing.
Turns out they were
in Afghanistan. And, like, actively fighting and shit.
They don't just do peacekeeping missions.
They are not building houses. Or, like, libraries or elementary schools or shit. Yeah. Flabbergasted. But yeah, I'm ready to move on.
Okay, my first fashion is, like, right at the top of the episode.
Is it?
Mm. And it's Liberty's fucking precious ballet.
Thank you! Me too.
Which, had I not paused to take a screenshot, I would not have noticed is a Lacoste.
I thought, right, the little alligator... yeah, I called them in my description, the ballet flat inspired Skecher looking motherfuckers. Skecher wedge looking motherfuckers. They're not Skechers, but they're Skecher wedge looking motherfuckers. Because everybody had shoes that looked like that without the ribbons. It's kind of
like a reverse Terry, where, like, they'd give Terry these really cute outfits and then the most fucked up shoes.
Yeah.
And Liberty, they're like, you are going to dress like a really frumpy pregnant teen.
Mm-hmm.
But
this look one at hoodie. These
beautiful ballet flats.
Liberty's wardrobe left much to be desired anyway, but yes, that is just like, okay, you're giving her these, like,
Liberty's wardrobe
statement making shoes
is giving Martha Cox in High School Musical 1 before Troy and Gabriella broke the status quo.
Yes.
It's bad and I hate it.
She is not supposed to be stylish, so
no,
I guess,
which
that,
is bullshit. Let her be cute.
I guess that means that she's got to walk around in oversized, like, beige shit.
Right,
though that outfit did not even match with her shoes.
No, but those shoes were cute anyway.
The shoes are cute anyway, but they're cute, and I have to admit that they are cute on her and for the time. Those are my two reservations, because I would not wear those now. I don't even know how the fuck to put my foot in those. That maybe those might be one of those shoes that look cute on your feet and terrible off.
Yeah.
And then you put them on, you're like, oh, okay, these don't look that bad. But, like, you can't even imagine a foot in them when they're off.
Probably. But I could not in that color, which is a shame because I think the white with the, like, lavender ribbon is beautiful.
Yeah.
But I could see wearing those shoes.
You could see wearing those shoes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I don't really wear white shoes, though. White shoes are fucking stupid.
I think white shoes are just impractical, very easy to scuff. And yeah, not my vibe. I much prefer to not go there. Of course, I just did a little quick search to see if
these still exist. And the only thing I found is like on a vintage site, which stresses me out. Yeah, Lacoste ballet pumps, because I feel like if I type in ballet wedges, they're going to be like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, these exist. They're
so cute, though. I love them.
They are. And I wanted like kind of just like a ballpark understanding of like what this would have ran Liberty at this time. But like, I'm just going to take a wild guess and say at this time for some Lacoste ballet flats, $150.
It's a good pair of shoes, though. Like, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Leather and good. Yeah, no, but you're probably right. They're cute.
I mean, if you're gonna buy some her shit like that,
mare, so like
if you're gonna buy a shoe like that with literal like satin ribbons being a part of the structural the wearing of the fucking shoe, yeah, like you're gonna need to drop a couple ducats so that you can ensure that you're not buying bullshit. Yeah, those were definitely on my list as far as fashion went. Honestly, I will just highlight JT as like, what the fuck is he wearing? Particularly the orange outfit in the locker room. It's just too many colors, even though it's all one color, and it's too many patterns. I'm just not feeling it.
Are you talking about this one that he's wearing in the first scene?
Yes.
I like that on him.
Or wait, no. Is that the... Go to the locker room scene with Toby.
I don't have the locker room scene. I didn't take a screenshot of that.
Yeah, I think it's the locker room scene. Hang on. Because that might be a different outfit. But no, I don't...
The same shirt. I don't know. I liked it, but...
I don't like it. No. It's specifically what I don't like is the undershirt with it, and maybe it's me being biased against a starch collar. I don't want to go back. I'm so happy that we are no longer fuck a starch collar, okay? And it's got a slightly wingtip vibe to it. I love wingtips.
Okay, but it was
I just don't like it. Maybe it's the orange. I don't like it. I think that it's a little bit too busy, and it's quite distracting. In the locker room scene is where I noticed it most with Toby. Maybe it's just the lighting in that scene.
My next one is our queen, the founder and president of the Fuck Them Kids Club, Miss Laura Kwan, who her hair is like beautiful, and she's wearing this like dusty rose sweater set.
Love me a sweater set.
Like,
love that. Love that.
She looks lovely.
Yeah, I feel like that's I thought I had another one for JT. But I think maybe I'm just thinking of the offensive, his layering. Oh gosh,
I have one
more. We're in the thicket now. Go ahead.
And it's Spinner when he's on his dot date with Darcy. He's just wearing a very cool t-shirt. You probably can't see it that well. There we go.
Oh, okay.
It's got like a guy who kind of looks like a spy, and then there's a tank, and he's shooting skull and crossbones out of his guns, and it's like grayscale and green. It's a cool shirt.
And it's not one of those shirts that Jimmy starts designing like next season.
No, it's not one of those. It's like a very intricate design.
Okay. As opposed to the
I'm sorry. Are we really going to pretend like Jimmy's shirts were anything that cool?
They weren't. They were, I think, just, you know, they have to have storylines. They have to be able to say, hey, you know, these are talented people and this could go far. But it can't, you know, be actually so talented that it's super believable. It's got to be just believable enough. It's like mediocrity is going to get these people far. But this episode just, Darcy's in her fucking cheer outfit, like
big hair green bag.
Yeah, just and Liberty looks the same in like every scene, even when she's wearing a bright green, like, yeah. She still looks the same. So,
like, it low-key looks like when an actress gets pregnant in real life, mm-hmm. and they don't write the pregnancy into the show.
Right. So they just abruptly change most of her. Like, they try to keep the aesthetic, but they're like, more fabric.
But, like, not in a way that actually works. Like, it not looks in a way like that they're works. Hiding a pregnancy.
It looks like this young lady is drowning in fabric and bags and large coats. And just happening to stand in front of all the lamps and people and chairs. Yeah. That's what it's giving. But that was your last fashion?
Yes.
All right. We don't have any Huns or
hypotheses,
black holes or hypotheses. So let's fire our shots.
Pew, 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 pew. Shots fired.
You want to start us out?
Yes. I have Liberty in response to JT saying, oh, it draws me in. Her saying, like a moth to a bug zapper, about the position.
My first is actually a bit before that, and it's a mm-hmm. self-inflicted gunshot wound. Mm-hmm. And it's when Liberty's like, I have to judge video announcements in 15 minutes. And JT's like, well, believe me, that's more than enough time.
I almost put that one. I have Quan saying, nice work, Gavin. Keep it up. And you might even pass this year. Which, like, fuck them kids.
Right? But she looks so warm saying it.
She does. It's like one of those things you don't realize that someone was like kind of coming for you a little bit, kind of talking some shit. And you're like, thanks.
That's why people who don't super listen to the show fight us on the Quan fuck them kids thing.
Right.
They're like, she loved her students. And it's like, No. She said, fuck them kids. And she said it loud. And she said it proud. And she said it over and over and over again.
I know she has her little theme song going. Because, yeah, she really, like, she lives and breathes that shit.
My next one is Toby saying, when JT's like, do you want to hang out tonight? And Toby's like, don't you have to rub Liberty's feet or something?
Yes. Yes, that was my next one. So my last one is just Paige saying, you still have to pay for that.
I have one before that, which is JT saying, oh, polyester's in this season. And I have one after that, which is Spinner saying to Darcy, ooh, laser tag, what a party. What else do you do? Weenie roasts? Yes.
It's very sassy. It is very sassy. Can I also fire a shot at Spinner for saying I'm persona non grota?
I fucking love Spinner. He's so dumb. Giving
Catch 42.
Did you ever watch True Blood?
Yes, but not. Just for the sex, I'm going to be honest with you.
There's an episode where Jason Stackhouse says, now I'm just paraphrasing here. And it's maybe my favorite thing anybody has ever said.
I also love to watch clips from True Blood, like, out of context, even though I know some of the context.
It's so dramatic.
I love Levant. Is that his name?
Lafayette. Yeah.
All of Lafayette's, like, reading for filth and just, like, general sassitude was, like, my bread and butter for so long. I don't know why I refuse to watch big shows when they're on the air. Like, S and I have just started Game of Thrones. We are well aware we're going to be highly disappointed by the 10th season.
Now I watch Game of Thrones with you.
I think we're in episode 6, still in the first season.
I
so.
Can't fucking do that to myself again.
You watched it before.
Self-respect, okay? And yeah, you know what? I probably will watch Pretty Little Liars again. But it will be a cold day in hell before I rewatch Game of Thrones.
I know I'm going to be in so much pain. I know, right? That's saying something. That impressed upon me something. I'm going to be in a lot of pain. I know. It's like one of those shows that I just heard enough about to know just generally my watching experience, the experience that I'm going to have. Is going to be painful. But it's like I'm not going to be able to stop watching.
It's not going to be a good time. Like, at all. Like, it's not fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it is until it's... I mean, but even when it's good, it's not like it's fun. Right? Because it's like...
Good and fun are two separate...
Yeah.
Caroline looks like she's telling war stories over here and shit. But this is what we both do. We both were like, we don't want to watch this shit while it's, like, at the height of its fame. Like, we want to come... That's why I didn't, read Twilight. Because when the book came out, it was a big deal in 2005. And I didn't read it until the movie came out. I was like, I'm not going to watch this movie. I'm going to read this book that everybody was fucking obsessed with so that I can watch this movie that everybody's fucking obsessed with.
Right? I don't want to have to wait a year and a half between movies. Fuck you.
Precisely. Now that New Moon was already in production and shit by the time I hopped the fuck off, I was like, set. I don't know why I'm like that, but I am very much like that with a lot of things. If I'm not on the wave, just organically, I'm going to wait until the wave has been, you know,
right,
ridden, and then I'm going to make my own wave. Be excited about this shit like it's new. Yeah, so I will be telling you, Caroline.
Yeah, I want to hear about it.
All of my pain.
And if you want to hear about it, come to pre-show.
Yeah.
Who shines?
I want to say that Darcy and or Spinner, but I don't feel like that. I feel like maybe more Spinner than Darcy, but I don't even know if I will go that far.
Yeah, I mean, you could argue that Darcy shines as an evil mastermind.
That's step one and two of her plot have gone off without a hitch.
But, like, I don't know. If she's not evil, no, I'll give it to Darcy. I'll give it to Darcy because what Spinner needs is somebody who's going to see him as more than this thing that he did.
Mm.
And, like, yeah, what Spinner did was fucked up, but also, like, he didn't know.
He didn't, I mean, he
couldn't have known.
No. The way that he says it is very, like, pretty much how it happened. Like, it's not like he's, and the whole, oh, and only in the most indirect way is possibly glazing over things a bit.
Yeah.
But I don't think that he was necessarily dishonest. Like, Spinner, Jimmy was hinting that he was completely dishonest. I think he more omitted.
Yeah.
Is it his true, like, his full involvement, but that's kind of what limits me from, like, actually being, like, finding that he's shown. Like, he really was not someone that I was like, okay, you did a great job.
He didn't bum me out.
He did not bum me out, but he didn't do great.
No, nobody really shines.
No, because Liberty does not bum me out, but she annoys me, just like JT annoys me.
Right.
Yeah, I think Toby was a great friend.
Super bummer. Toby was
but he was also kind of an asshole.
Like,
he was also kind of an asshole too. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, we got some highs. We've got some lows. Wait, you take the good, you take the bad, you take them both.
Take them both.
Then you have the facts of life. I've been wanting to rewatch The Facts of Life and I can't find it. So I might just buy it.
Because the world never seems to be living up to your dreams. Okay. Does it go there?
Does it go there?
I think it goes there.
We've got teen pregnancy and predatory conversions. We've got Friendship Club. The first rule of Friendship Club is that we always
talk
about Friendship Club.
We talk about it so hard. Yeah.
All the time.
The religion of it all starts to be more of a theme because of old Darcy.
But yeah, I'd say it goes there.
Definitely goes there.
Thanks for listening to your mom's podcast. Next week, we'll be joined by Titty Snake producer Chelsea to watch Ellie and Manny be shitty to each other in weddings, parties, anything.
Yes. Can't wait. So pumped. I'm actually excited for this episode because I can finally listen to the full song that I now have. Everybody got a secret. That funky bass. That funky guitar. Love it. We got the tambourine.
It's a good time. All right.
Excited.
This episode of Your Mom's Podcast was made possible in part by King Size Condoms, Friendship Club, and support from listeners like you.
Thank you. We would like to take a moment to thank our Patreon subscribers. Tay,
Evie,
Miranda,
and an extra special thank you to our Titty Snake producers, Alika,
Brandy,
Chelsea,
Corey,
and Tawny.
Thank you guys. Love you.
If you'd like to further support our show, you can find us on TikTok and Facebook as Your Mom's Podcast. We also have a Facebook group of the same name. And you can find us on Instagram at YMPadcast. Your Mom's Podcast is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscriptions and reviews are another great free way to support us. However, if you're interested in supporting us in not free ways, we have a lot of great bonus content on our Patreon, and some great merch at our shop, which can be found at your-moms-podcast-shop.forthwall.com. And remember, that's Padcast. PAHDCAST. Thank you.